I wanted to talk today regarding this gospel reading today. There's an image here of heaven and hell. We have the rich man who is, it says, has died and is in Hades. And we have Lazarus, poor Lazarus, who is in Abraham's bosom. We have this image of heaven and hell. And you hear in the church or in Christian circles or in the world, these ideas of hell, or people say, do you believe in hell? Do you believe in the devil? Do you believe in all those things? And people have these images of what that might look like, somewhat because of the parables that are written in the scriptures, these illustrations that are given. A big part of our imagery of hell comes from the book The Inferno by Dante. He wrote this very extended description of that in the Middle Ages, and people have kind of attached themselves to this image of what hell is. I thought today I would share with you a little bit about what the church teaches about heaven and hell, but more specifically hell. It's not really a Halloween sermon, but it was the gospel reading today. So a little bit more about hell today. So when people ask, what did Father preach? He preached about hell today, you can say. So let me actually, since I mentioned Halloween, I should mention these, my wife, Lydia Anna, and my mother, Grace, they went to get the candy, you know, for Halloween for us to give to the kids this year. And I'm kind of a traditionalist in terms of what I give out. I like Kit Kats. I like, because what I get, I try to think about if there's anything left over, you know. And I like to give out Twizzlers and sometimes a little Milky Way, little bars there. Those are kind of nice Halloween things. Anyway, they come back with a big box of microwavable popcorn. And so, now don't laugh because they're sitting right here and that wouldn't be nice. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just more of a traditionalist, and I just wouldn't have kind of gone there. I kind of stay with what's safe, but they don't want to pass it out. That's kind of like my job. So I'm the one who gets to kind of experience what it's like to give out microwavable popcorn. I mean, it wasn't popped; it was in the little packages, and so, you know, the doorbell rings, and it was, you know. Some of them didn't know what it was. You know, you're putting it in their bag and they just smiling, thank you, trick or treat, thank you, happy Halloween and all that. And so, but there was this, these kids came up and they were like really looking intently and as they were walking off, she said to the boy that was with her, it's popcorn. And he said, that's a trick. She said, it's a treat. He said, no, it's a trick. She said, no, it's a treat. So, and I never really thought of it like that. Like the people, I guess, they call their bad candy tricks and their good candy treats. But she thought it was a treat. He thought it was a trick. Now, it was the same thing. They both were receiving the very same thing. And this is why I just like to stick with the Twizzlers and Kit Kat. But it was a very interesting thing to see that. Both of them looking at this same package, one says it's a trick, one says it's a treat. This was not just to tell a story, this was actually connected to what I'd like to say today. When we think about heaven and hell, sometimes we think about hell being a place down there, usually, and heaven being a place up there, usually. But what the church teaches us is that heaven and hell are the same place. That there is no place where we are separate from God. That for some people, being in the presence of God is hell. And for some people, being in the presence of God is paradise. Origen, who was a 3rd century writer from Egypt, he said, "The same sun that melts wax also hardens mud." So you have the sun, you put a candle in front of it, it'll melt. You put mud in front of it, and it'll turn very hard. St. Basil the Great said, "The fire that spared the 3 holy children," from the book of Daniel, remember the 3 holy children in the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "that fire that saved those children also killed the soldiers who threw them in there." So we have these images of this one thing doing different things to different people. Saint Isaac of Syria, Saint Isaac said, "As for me, I say that those who are tormented in hell are tormented by the invasion of love. What is there more bitter and violent than pains of love? Those who feel they have sinned against love bear in themselves a damnation much heavier than the most dreaded punishments. The suffering with which sinning against love afflicts the heart is more keenly felt than any other torment. It is absurd to assume that the sinners in hell are deprived of God's love. Love is offered impartially, but by its very power it acts in 2 ways. It torments sinners, as happens here on earth when we are tormented by the presence of a friend to whom we have been unfaithful." Have you ever experienced that? You've done something you ought not have done, you've been unfaithful or betrayed to someone or as a child to one's parents, and then their very love feels painful to you because you're thinking about what's gone on. You're thinking about this sin in your life. As the presence of a friend to whom we've been unfaithful. And it gives joy to those who have been faithful. So there's this idea that God's love, God loves, God is love. God doesn't send us to this place or to that place. We are in the presence of God's love. And depending on our life, God's love will be experienced as joy, or God's love will be experienced as torment. It's not that the torments described in the New Testament aren't true. I'm not saying there is no torment when we die. Those torments are just to give an image, a picture of how awful something would be. And what the saints are saying, it is horribly awful to feel God's love in a painful way. Part of that comes from our understanding of what sin is. And this is important to know. So often we think about sin as a legal problem. If someone goes to prison, they've committed some crime, they go to prison, they have a legal problem. Sin, there is no legal problem connected with sin. It's not that God has been keeping tabs and says, "Here's the list of your sins, your crimes, and now therefore your punishment is this." It's not a legal problem. Sin is a heart problem. Sin is a soul problem. What the church calls the noose, the inner eye of the soul, the part of us that relates with God. the soul gets darkened and injured and wounded when we sin. So that when we sin, our soul can't perceive God anymore. Or at least the perception of God becomes distorted, becomes darkened. So sin is not a legal problem. Sin is a soul problem. Sins aren't really crimes as much as they are wounds that we have and symptoms of an illness that we have. So the purpose of the church isn't to punish this person and reward this person. The purpose of the church is to heal the noose, is to heal the heart, so we can perceive God correctly, so that we can receive His love. Father John Romanini said, all human beings will see the glory of God, and from this point of view, they have the same end. Everybody has the same end. Everyone will certainly see the glory of God, the difference being that, whereas the saved will see the glory of God as sweetest light without evening, the damned will see the same glory of God as consuming fire, as fire that will burn them. It is true and predictable that we shall all see the glory of God. Seeing God, that is to say His glory and His light, is something that will happen, whether we want it or not. The experience of this light, however, the experience will be different in the two categories. The work of the church and the priests is not to help us to see this glory, because that will happen no matter what. The work of the church centers on how each one will see God, not on whether he will see God. In other words, the task of the church is to preach to people that the true God exists, that God is revealed either as light or as consuming fire, and that at the second coming of Christ, all of us will see God. And it must prepare its members so that they see God not as fire, but as light. So our task as Christians it's not a formulaic thing. I believe this, therefore I'm this. Okay, this person is a Christian, therefore he goes here. This person is a this, so therefore he goes there. It's not that. It's about the condition of our soul. And the Lord gave us this church to heal our souls that have been damaged by the fall of humanity. So that's what we're doing here. And all the things we do, communion and confession and reading the scriptures and worship, God doesn't need it. God's not saying, oh, thank you for that this morning, this Sunday morning. That felt really good. I wasn't feeling so good, but now I feel much better because you guys gave a beautiful worship. It's not for God as much as it is for us. God has given us this. God has given us Jesus. God has given us the church. God has given us saints even to teach us. So this is for our healing. And so our task is to open ourselves up for that healing. It is true that there are perhaps, or it's been said, that the gates of hell are locked and you can't unlock those gates once we're in hell. But as Metropolitan Callistos Ware says, but the gates of hell are locked from the inside, not from the outside. God does not keep His love from us. It's us who refuse to receive His love as joy. So this is the teaching of the Orthodox Church on hell. It's not that hell doesn't exist, but it's probably not as we sometimes picture, and it's certainly not as you might see a Halloween costumed character running around. It should be scary, though. It isn't something that any of us want to do, and it should be our first task in life, to open our hearts to the healing that God is offering us. so that we can see him as joyful light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Christ is in our midst.